The one that I think you would like, Justin, it's called Three Ping Lovers. It opens up like an RPG, and then
And then the fucking
like
starts.
8-bit, and then the fucking starts. So it combines both of your favorite things. RPGs.
I'm fucking.
But no monster girls. I think they're elves. Is that okay for you? Does that satisfy your monster love?
Yes, it satisfies my monster fetish that I just revealed I totally have.
You're a fucking weirdo. How are you? 誰もいない部屋で一人モーニング朝が来たよ土砂降りの朝がティックタック私のネジを誰か巻いて What's up, everyone, and welcome to episode 38 of Total Control, brought to you by oprainfall.com for the week of, July 1st. Happy July 1st, you guys.
Yeah, the 4th's coming up.
Well, we took a couple weeks off, maybe just a week, because we had our a couple E3 podcasts, which we stopped. I don't know if you guys noticed, but we didn't do every day, and there's a reason. I think we bit off a little more than we could chew because E3 is exhausting.
You mean he got drunk every night and was too hungover to do it?
You know, I guess that would have been a better case than zombieing into my room and just passing out from standing up all day. It's like your traditional con too, to where the carpet is like really hard and your feet start hurting, but then you walk onto like a little booth and they have that soft carpet and you're like, fuck, I can stand here forever. But it's really not that soft. It's just 10% softer than the hard ass ground right next to it. But it all sucks. We took a week off and I am one of your hosts, Zara Lopez, and those voices that you hear are Steve Baltimore.
Hello.
And Justin Giyu.
What's up, everyone?
Just the three of us. You can sing it.
It's actually two of us, but whatever.
Total Control is recorded every week and posted to TopRainfall.com and iTunes. If you enjoy the show, we ask you to please follow us on Twitter at The Total Control. Today we will be talking about Steve's review of Hyperdimension Neptunia Rebirth 3 for the PS Vita, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Shenmue 3 Kickstarter. But first, we're going to talk about what we're doing or playing. Steve, start with you.
Well, I just finished up Rebirth 3. And I liked it pretty good. They actually did a little bit of tweaking to the combat system this time. The EXE gauge is gone completely. They done away with it. And all of your big EX moves are done with SP now. And you get SP every time you hit or get hit by an enemy. And but it doesn't fill up when you level up or as you leave a stage. It stays at exactly the same level as whatever you had before. And it actually fills up a lot faster this way. And it makes the combat feel like it moves a little faster. Also, they added extra attack slots to your combos that you can unlock, so you can do like up to four normal attacks and a finisher on each round. And which also, I thought that was pretty cool. You had to unlock these because they went apeshit crazy with the plan system this time. I mean, there's plans to unlock stuff for each character. There's plans to unlock dungeons. There's plans to unlock extra music. There's plans for everything. And it was a little tedious to unlock some of them, but the fact that they fixed Stella's dungeon to where it's actually usable this time helped us out a whole lot, because not only does Stella get to take like a partner, like a scout partner that gives her a little extra boost going through the dungeon, that helped out a lot, but it moved a lot faster. Like you could do 300 or 400 floors in an hour.
Yeah, I was hanging out with David Alonso at E3, and he let me play Rebirth 3 for a little bit, and he asked me how I felt about Stella Dungeoneer. He brought it up, and I said, I hate it. And he started laughing and told me that they fixed it for this one and made it a little bit easier.
But the good thing is not only was it faster, it actually gives you useful things now. So a lot of the times you'll finish quest for gathering items and your plan's just running her through that without actually having to go to the stages and get the stuff. So that helped out a lot too. It got a new translation too, which they fixed a few things that I always thought NIS kind of botched up a little bit. So overall it was really good. I really enjoyed it.
I like how I accidentally said that we'd be talking about it later on in the show, and that's the first thing that we talk about.
Yeah, I know, right?
I don't think anybody's going to complain.
Well, it was later.
It was later. It was. Yeah, so they keep shoveling these Hyperdimension Neptunia games out almost monthly now.
Seriously, they just keep on coming.
Well, they're out now.
When did this one come out?
The only thing left is today.
This one today.
Okay, because I saw it on store shelves today, actually, and I was wondering, I was like, oh, wow, I didn't realize this was coming out today, or maybe it was out already.
The only thing that we don't have right now is V2.
Yeah, I went ahead and decided to buy the Arno Surge physical, and then I'm just going to save on Neptunia for a little bit and play it later.
But for those out there that are picking up the game, do note that the Japanese audio is free DLC this time. It's not on the cart. And all of your extra characters are free DLC as well. There are a couple of things you can buy. I think it'll run you $2 to get.
Yeah, I think they have a Vita theme that you can buy.
There's three of them.
And I got to see those, and they're really cool if you want to make your Vita look nice.
Yeah, I bought
it. I'm not even joking. It's a pretty cool theme.
Just
for pages and stuff. We don't get a lot of themes here. I feel like the Japanese Vitas get so many themes for like every game, and we get nothing.
Yeah, I can't really think of that many.
That's the first theme I bought for the Vita. I actually bought all three of them. There's three different themes. There's one with the CPUs, there's one with the candidates, and then there's one that's just like a custom theme that's got a little bit of both in it.
Yeah, and we don't get any, and I guess if you buy it, Idea Factory will keep making them, basically. That's what they said. So this is them testing it out. So if you like it and they sell enough, they'll keep bringing them over. But really, it's just a Japanese thing that's only over there. They're the only ones that are getting themes. And they get really cool themes. They get, I believe they have a Danganronpa theme.
Mm-hmm.
Some other good ones. I think like a Phantasy Star one that they have over there.
Yeah.
So, we get nothing. We get Uncharted, and I don't know, what do we have? Probably Gravity Rush.
I had the PlayStation 20th Anniversary Classic theme for a while.
Yeah, I have that on my PS4.
Oh my goodness. Speaking of 20th Anniversary, there's a game store in New York, and they have the 20th Anniversary PS4. Like, they actually have it for sale, and it's over $1,000.
Really?
Yeah.
That's such bullshit. Anyway, the PS4 actually announced that they're selling that controller. So, I mean, if you don't want to pay that much, you can get pretty damn close to
the next best thing.
What that PS4 is. There's a slot that you can buy for PS4, a cover.
Mm-hmm.
And it has like the triangle, circle, square, X design on it, like etched into it. And you could buy that off the store and just slip that on your PS4. I mean, you can make it look good. You don't, that, I guess the 20th anniversary is cool, but the new PS4s coming out are all, matte. I don't know. Is yours kind of glossy or is it a matte on the PS4?
It's, it's kind of glossy. It looks incredible. For those of you who don't know, I recently got the Arkham Knight PS4, and that thing looks great. Say what you want about the actual game. I know there's kind of some mixed opinions about it, But the PS4 itself looks fantastic.
Yeah, that's a really cool looking PS4. But yeah, so the new PS4s that are coming out, they're changing the gloss to matte, and they're making them a bigger storage.
Yeah, I think they got a terabyte.
Also 1 terabyte.
Yeah. I don't know. If you're buying digital games, honestly, I don't even think that's enough right now. And no one's ever going to be happy because you're never going to be able to fit every goddamn game that you buy on your PS4 on there. Mm-hmm. So get over it.
Especially with the updates, too.
And no one's playing 500 gigs of video games at one time. You can delete something. Jesus Christ, come on. Like, oh my God, it just upsets me that people are complaining about this storage space when you can delete the 100 gigs that Grand Theft Auto 5 leaves on there, because ain't nobody playing Grand Theft Auto 5 Loading Edition, because that's what that game is. It's 30 minutes of a loading screen. You're in the game, you're playing online, and then you get kicked, so it's another 30 minutes in the loading screen. But that game's like 50 gigs.
Why'd you get kicked?
You always get kicked every time you leave a mission, every time you leave anything. You switch servers, I guess, and it just... God, that game pisses me off, but I guess that's trailing off. Anyway, you don't need these fucking games on your PS4 that you're not playing. Just delete them. Like, even if it's PS Plus, they'll still stay on there, even if you just purchased them.
And the good thing about the PS4 as opposed to the other consoles is it actually has that library feature where you can go over
go to your library,
and it's all right there. You don't have to dig through your fucking download list to find all that stuff.
And get off Wi-Fi. Ain't nobody using PS4 Wi-Fi anymore. Plug that shit in. It's 2015. Ethernet cables are the best.
They still exist. We promise.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if you're using Wi-Fi to download stuff, I guess, like, okay, I can see why you're upset, but Ethernet cables are where it's at.
I do want to mention one other thing about Ideal Factory while we were talking about them a minute ago. They did something that kind of astounded me this week. They actually have a limited edition Amnesia coming out, which made me question, how do you do a limited edition for a digital-only game?
Wait, what?
Yes, there's...
So it has a code or something?
Yes, you can get a Steam version or a Vita version.
That's like what Capcom did with Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
How they're like, it just comes with the code of the game?
Yeah, it's a box.
I think it does.
Okay, I'll tell you about Amnesia, because there's some things that... I got to play Amnesia, and you're going to die in this game a lot. Like, spoilers. You'll every ending to this game except for 4... and there's probably, I think there's like 30 or something like that. There's like 20 or 16 or something like that. And, but only 4 of those is you actually live. Every single other one, you die. You die horrible, disturbing deaths.
But do you get amnesia?
You get amnesia in the beginning. And there's also a new game plus, which, because you don't actually know why you have amnesia in the whole
game. That's why you have amnesia, because you don't know.
Exactly. Until you get new game plus. And after new game plus, you get, you understand why you have amnesia. But there's like a story of this guy who, like, if you piss him off enough, because there's like meters of like, passion or tension or, doubt, if they doubt you. If he starts doubting you too much because of your answers, he'll lock you up in a cage and feed you, like, randomly. And this is... You'll die. You die in there. That's it for you. And this is amazing. This is a PSP game, so new stuff to this Vita game is there's mini games. Like, you can play, like skee-ball on your Vita and stuff. Pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
I'm sorry. It's like you're talking about the game, and it sounds like it totally gets real. You're like, yeah, you know, if he doubts you, he, like, does all this horrible crap to you, but you can play skee-ball.
The guy... And if you're... Okay, it's a good story because it's dark. It's a dark story.
You know, but I just had a flashback of Dogma for some reason. You know, thinking of Dogma, you know, God likes to play skee-ball, you know?
Yeah, so this game, you play as a girl with two, it's aimed for girls who want to talk, who like want to get husbandos or husbandos, whatever. I don't know how you guys say it, but the guys kind of look like girls. I mean, you could, if you're straight and want to read a dark story, like, it's not going to be too hard. It's not going to, like, make you uncomfortable enough. You can pretend. Because you never see the girl's face unless it's, like, a CG, so you're, like, talking, you know? You're good.
Welcome to Japanese video games, folks.
101.
But let me tell you, like, this game is deep. Like, the visual novel elements of it is, like, it's dark. If you liked, what was it, Corpse Party and Danganronpa, you're going to really get into this game because it has the same, like, dark story elements.
I just find it kind of funny how Japanese games tend to love the amnesia trope for the main character, and we finally have a game that's actually just called Amnesia.
Yeah, it's really hard Googling that game, too, because you get
you get the wiki page for actual Amnesia.
That and that one game, though, that scary game, the spooky game.
Mm. Which spooky game?
It's like Pigs, Amnesia. It's like a computer game. It's like one of the scariest games on there.
Are you talking about Dementium?
I'm pretty sure it's Amnesia. It's a PC game.
No,
there is
another Amnesia. Yes, you're right. You're right.
You were going to make me, you're making me doubt myself right now.
Yeah,
you asshole.
Yeah, I'm trying to make, I'm trying to lower your passion level with me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Even the passion. No.
But playing it for the time that I had on the game with the handheld, it was a lot of fun. Because I knew nothing about it, and I know a lot of people don't know much about it. There's not much written on it, but I'll write something. Just give me a little bit of time. I'm in a summer school calculus class, so goodbye, life.
Oh yeah, getting that education.
Yeah, trying. Okay, Justin, what have you been up to?
I've been playing Umihara Kawase on the Vita. You guys know me. I love that game. That game is pretty great. I got all the backpacks the other night. I am stoked about that, and I'm getting pretty close to getting all the trophies in it, which is quite the achievement.
You got a platinum?
No, I don't have a platinum, but I'm close to it. I'm only missing a few
trophies. I'm saying, does the game have one?
It does. Nice. And it's really hard to get. And I've been dying a lot. But otherwise, I've been playing that. I've also been playing Smash Bros. Some DLC came out for that recently, such as Ryu, Lucas, and Roy. But I only bought Roy since I'm cheap. And Roy plays really, really good. Yeah, he's really cool to play as and really fun. But
why didn't you get Ryu?
Because I just didn't get any more Wii points yet or money on the account. I'm gonna get him.
I would say, why did you get Ryu instead of Roy?
Because I wanted Roy. Roy's my boy.
Why?
Actually, it's because I only had enough money for Roy on my account, and I didn't feel like getting another card.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Excuses. All I hear is excuses.
But the best DLC, though, is not even the new characters. It's the Miiverse level. The Miiverse level is probably one of the greatest things to happen to Smash Bros. In a long time.
I need to turn on my Wii at some point and play this stuff.
Honestly, any of you guys that have not touched a Wii U in Smash Bros. In a while, play it just for the Miiverse level. So essentially, it's just like Battlefield, but then random Miiverse posts will come up as you're fighting people. And some of the stuff people are posting, seriously, you guys have some crazy imagination. You guys posting this stuff on Miiverse. It's just hilarious when, like, you'll have Zero Suit Samus in there, then out of nowhere, there'll be a picture of Zero Suit Samus' ass, and someone goes, "Dad ass."
Yes.
Like, you'll have someone who, I think someone wrote, "I love iCarly" in one of the posts, and then just came up in the middle of my game.
I got kicked off of Miiverse. I can't even post on there anymore.
Oh, some of the stuff people post on there is insane. Like, it doesn't have anything to do with Smash Bros. I heard stuff like, there was one post someone put, it was Roy420 Blaze It.
Yeah, I got banned when I was playing 3D World, Mario 3D World, because every time, like, you beat a level, it says post something, and I'm like, okay, so I would just draw Goombas that look like dicks.
People actually draw dicks, and they come up in the game, so I don't know how you got banned. Yeah.
I got banned for this, and it's really sad, but I could still see the pictures. They're still on my account, so I make my friends laugh sometimes.
But the
got
best
banned?
Part of the...
I had like Bowser having sex with Luigi on there.
at least you're putting your talents to good use, Tesario.
Yeah.
God help us if you ever turned evil.
Justin, I want to ask you how you felt about Nintendo's E3 conference.
All right. Presentation. A lot of people were pissed off about it. Personally, I wasn't. I wouldn't say I was disappointed. I expected a little bit more out of it, but you know, I was kind of happy with what we got.
What did we get?
Well, we got the new Star Fox. I was really excited to see that.
That game's terrible. That game's terrible.
I'm hoping it's
next.
Good.
Next game? No. I played it. It's terrible.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I bet the game's like shit, don't it?
Wait, were you forced to use the gyro controls?
I had like 10 minutes with it because Nintendo doesn't really like us that much, so we don't get backstage. So I had to our VIP thing, media thing at E3. So I had like 10 minutes with it on the show floor. It looks like a PS2 game, and it's just not fun.
One thing I hope that they don't force the motion controls on you, and that's like probably my biggest concern with it.
It's Nintendo.
Oh, that's how you aim. That's
because like they did that with Splatoon, but I heard you can change the controls to just the controller.
I didn't change it, but that's how you aim. That's how you lock on enemies.
Oh, that's kind of lame, actually.
man, yeah, that's it is. Let me my rating 1 out of 10 for Nintendo. See that Shimigami slash Fire
Emblem. I don't know what to think about
that. I have no idea what's going on, but I like every waifu that they show in it.
Yeah, I agree with Azario on this one.
See, that makes me want to give it a 5 out of 10.
I'd have to agree with Azario, but I really thought Fire Emblem Fates looked good, but they're going to chop that game into so many freaking pieces before we ever see it that you won't recognize it, so...
Yeah, they'll censor the hell out of it,
too.
Oh,
my God, it's going to be epic.
I hope they don't.
I hope they don't, but it's Nintendo, and we know they're going to do it. And I'm going to get to save me some money because I'm not going to buy it.
The reason why I hope that they don't is because they're allowing Senran Kagura on there, and they didn't censor that one, the second one.
Yeah, but it's not their game.
It's not their game. They didn't publish that.
That's true. That's true, guys.
But there is a little ray of hope.
Because, yeah, I just have high hope.
I found out recently, and I cannot confirm this, but I always thought it was Nintendo that had the Bravely Default stuff censored. But I was actually told that was Square Enix's decision to do that.
Maybe it was.
From somebody fairly reliable that kind of knows. I mean, like I said, I have no official way of knowing one way or the other. But then again, on Fire Emblem, we had to put a cape over Tarja's ass for no apparent reason because a full bikini was just too much.
She does have a nice badunk-a-dunk.
One thing, I had a question about this for E3. Did Nintendo ever show Fatal Frame 5?
No. That's weird, though, right? Because that's coming.
That's coming, and there was an E3 trailer, but I don't think Nintendo actually showed it.
No, there's nothing on the floor. That I saw.
That's really, really dumb.
I think they may have showed it in the treehouse one time.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. Yeah, no, they did. They did a little, they lowered the lights for it, I heard, or something like that. Like, they got into the mood for that game. But there was nothing playable that I saw.
The question everybody had from Nintendo was, where was Devil's Third at?
That's a big one.
Gone. Not there. And the rumor is that it's either going to, A1, get a digital-only release here, or that they're looking for another publisher.
Yeah, well...
I mean, for me, like, their whole conference, the one thing that I really wanted was a release date for Xenoblade, and I got that, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Okay. Okay, so what would you... Okay. Okay, since we're doing this now, who won
E3? Who won
E3? I know the gamers won
E3.
E3. Shut the fuck up. Who won E3?
As far as who got the biggest boost out of it, probably Sony.
I would say
there
Sony too.
That's what I want to hear, baby.
Well, I mean,
there are two big surprises on the Microsoft end. One was, what was it? Recode Inafune's game on Xbox One.
Yeah.
Recore.
Yeah. That was very surprising that Microsoft was able to secure exclusivity for that.
It looks good.
Yeah. And also Cuphead. Looks incredible.
I have, if you guys want to know more on Cuphead also, I did a written preview of it on the site. It was my favorite game at E3.
I don't blame you. That game looks insane.
They look good.
Yeah, I interviewed the devs, so we have a little bit of insight on it, but that was my game of E3.
I think the backwards compatibility was blown way out of proportion, because I remember the 360 backwards compatibility where they said, oh, we're going to give you these games, but we're going to update this list constantly. And then...
Well, the thing is, no one used it.
I did. I used it for Just a Radio Future. That game was great.
That game was terrible.
It was so fun.
That was like a bundled game with the Xbox OG, right?
At one point it was. It was bundled with the racing game.
Terrible.
I love that game. The music was great.
A lot of people love that game, Azario. You're just a hater.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
The music was really good, too.
I have to agree with Azario. I don't like it. I just had to take the other side, I think. I don't like the controls on it, but, you know, there are a lot of people that like it.
It's very nice looking.
Yeah. Looks great on the Vita, too, if you get the Vita version.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about the sequel to that.
The Xbox-only one, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the Dreamcast one. The Dreamcast one, yeah, the controls weren't the best on that one.
I didn't play the other one, so...
They improved it on the Xbox one.
Okay. Yeah, Sony did win. Xbox has Cuphead. HoloLens is a joke.
Yeah. They said it didn't even work, like they actually showed it on the floor.
Yeah, they said they put the little screen on and it shows everything right there. No! Assholes, all you see is like a 4x10 thing right in the middle, and Phil Spencer said that it will never get bigger. Like, that's it. That's all they're gonna have. It might get a couple centimeters bigger, but that is it for the most part. So I don't know. I played Oculus Rift and I played Morpheus. So I can say with Oculus Rift, it was a dinosaur game from Crytek. It's like going to Dinosaur Island 2 or something like that. It was amazing. Oh my god. The problem with Oculus is that you can tell you're wearing something. When I put Morpheus on, it felt like I was just wearing my glasses. Like, it felt like I was, like, I didn't even know that it was on me. With Morpheus, it was heavy, so that kind of takes you out of the VR experience. But there is a point when I was in Dinosaur Island and I was moving out of my head away from these rocks because they were falling on me and I didn't want to get hit by them. And I hit my head on the guy and it felt foreign. Like, he wasn't supposed to be there next to me. And so that was like my first VR experience. And, I feel like I'm still there right now.
Wow.
I played Hatsune Miku on Morpheus, and goddamn, that game. And the thing is, like, everyone can see what I'm looking at, and goddamn, I was being a pervert towards Miku.
So you're just, like, looking up her skirt the whole time?
I was trying to, brother. Oh, my God. and then she blows a kiss at you, and you go on stage with her, and oh, shit.
Why do I, like, have this image of you with it on? And then, like, the whole time, your hands are just like, oh, you're like, trying to, like, touch her.
You're holding the move in your hand, and you're, like, shaking it on beat. Yeah. And every time you shake it, like, stars fly out, and it was interesting. It was, like, I was at a concert. I went to a Miku concert for free. But that was, that was cool. For PlayStation, I think my game that was shown that was amazing, like, besides, like, the obvious Last Guardian, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Shenmue 3, was Horizon.
Yes.
Yeah, that looks badass.
That game, I saw behind closed doors of that game, and shit, dude. That's the game.
That game looks great.
Looks good.
Yeah. Amazing that... these developers that did that game are the Killzone guys, Guerrilla. And it's good because Killzone was starting to suck. they finally realized that they were never going to beat Halo and or be Halo, and so doing something cool.
It was kind of funny because when Microsoft showed Halo this year, you know, they'd showed Doom 4 the night before, and I was like, when they showed Halo, I'm like, God, that looks like crap, because Doom looks amazing.
Doom looks like Doom. I don't want there to be a story in Doom. I don't want there to be anything. I just want it to be just that.
So and then, like, I think they got that this time.
Yeah, doing it for nothing.
So like, this is a remake, right?
I don't know.
I think it's a reboot.
Yeah.
Wasn't Doom 3 a reboot?
No.
It was a remake.
No.
The world might never know.
I think Doom 3 was kind of just its own thing.
I think we're stuck in a paradox right now.
Yeah.
Well, talking about Bethesda, at least, Fallout 4 looks good.
Hell yeah.
Kind of looks super ambitious, and you can do this, and you can do that. And that Pip-Boy guys don't fucking buy it. Okay, sorry, this is just my opinion, but that's stupid. They're like, you can have your own Pip-Boy, but it's just a cell phone holder for $150? No. You can go online, you can get a 3D printed, someone has a 3D printed model of a Pip-Boy, and if you want, that's a lot cheaper to get a 3D print Pip-Boy than paying $150 for the same thing. Just do that. But that's me. I just think a cell phone holder is stupid. I've actually been playing a lot. I've been playing Fallout Shelter, and I think it's dumb.
I didn't even bother with that online.
Yeah, I've been playing it. Well, it's iPhone only, so. Do you guys have iPhones?
I don't think you do.
I do. I got a 5.
Oh, okay. Well, it was fun at first, but then it just got really dumb. That's all I can say about that. It's just the sounds. If there's a South Park episode about phones, I don't know. Have you seen this? Do you watch South Park?
Justin? I haven't watched it recently.
It's like Terrence and Phillip.
Yeah, it's the Canada one, right? The microtransactions.
Yeah. So those sounds so in that funny. Game are the exact same thing in this game. You just turn it on and you click everything, and then you get a notification. Oh, you need to. You got some pharmacy or some food to get and. It's just so dumb. I got tired of it probably after a couple days. I got up to like 30 people though. I don't know. It was just dumb. Justin, sorry for trailing off on what you're playing.
I mean, we kind of covered most of what I've been playing. I mean, what I'm going to play is Iron Surge. Since that just came. And also, JSTOR's Victory Versus, I picked that up today.
Be sure to watch that CL Surge.
Yeah,
translated playthrough that I sent you.
Yeah, absolutely. You keep telling me I need to watch it before I start playing Arna Surge so I can understand the story in it. Since I've heard the story is actually pretty good.
It's excellent.
It is. I kind of picked up on it. You can, if you read everything, like there's highlighted words, if you read everything,
yeah,
you can start understanding what's going on.
It'll be much easier if you just watch those videos.
Yeah. So you know what's happening. But if you don't want to, you don't have to. I haven't been playing anything, but what I want to talk about is I have an interview going up probably the same day as this podcast. So if you're listening to this, go to the website. I interviewed Takaki-san, designer for Senran Kagura, and it was the new Estival Versus and Deep Crimson too. The he's done all of them, but the we didn't really talk about the new games coming out, and this is why this interview is pretty good and pretty interesting, is because we more talked about how he handles sexualization and how he addresses the naysayers more like and it's really interesting. He doesn't take that approach that I thought he was going to take, where he was just like, fuck them. He actually gives great responses and very, very more adult than what I thought we were going to get out of him. It was a very good interview. It's not something that, like, I know he did an interview with Niche Gamer and Silicon Era, but there's mostly talks about the game. We don't actually talk about Essel Versus. So if you want an interview with Essel Versus, go ahead and go to there. But if you want an interview more about Tsukaki-san and him as a designer and stuff, go to Op Rainfall.
That's
the best
cool
website. Yeah, it was great. It was great talking to him. He's an awesome person.
I'd have a drink with him.
Yeah. Oh, well, the name on the verge of name dropping, I met Mark Cerny at E3. He's the engineer behind PS4. He is the smartest man in the world. I met Igarashi. He's I think he's the producer for Castlevania Symphony of the Night, which was cool. And I met Miyazaki, director of Dark Souls, Demon Souls, and Bloodborne. And I got to see Dark Souls 3 behind closed doors, and I wrote a review, hands-off demo thing on the site. So if you look for Dark Souls 3, search in the search, you can read that, because that's all about what I saw behind closed doors. Yeah, that's all I have to say. You guys have anything to plug? You doing anything, Justin?
I am working on a Hakoki review, and that should be coming out this week.
Oh, cool.
I'm working.
I guess, Steve, can we talk about your new position? Or are we holding off
until next week? Well, you have to edit this out. When's it going out? When's this going out?
It's going out Friday.
No, it'll have to go out next week.
Okay, we have a surprise, a Steve surprise next week. Steve is not going anywhere.
No.
He's go.
He's no, you stuck. Guys are stuck with me forever.
So what was that? What were you saying, Steve?
I am going to be reviewing Lost Dimensions for the site, but I don't really have that much to say about it since I just started it. So
I could say something. I played it. I have a impressions piece on the website, or on Op Rainfall.
Well, you played it at E3, so you can go on there.
Steve's an embargo champion right now, so
kind of, but I don't really have a lot to say because I've only really literally played like 30 minutes of it. So
if you have any like burning questions, talk to me. Don't talk to him because I didn't sign no contract. But yeah, there is an impression piece on there, and I talk about the game and how it's what's going on in it. I think in terms of Atlas, besides Persona 4, Dancing All Night, which I also have an impression piece, I think the game that kind of surprised me the most was Legend of Legacy from them. There's a reason to charge your 3DS right there.
That's good.
Yeah, it's
What did you think of Dungeon Travelers?
It's hard. And I also, Dungeon Travelers 2, I have an impressions piece on there, and I was talking to the PR for Atlas, and he's like, yeah, man, like, you die pretty easily. You actually, every battle, you kind of have to strategize, and it's a grindy game, no pun intended.
Of course it is. Look at it. It's a dungeon crawler.
Yeah, it is a dungeon crawler at heart, too. Like, it's tough. It's fun, though. Once you get the hang of it, it's fun.
I'm going to speak about Joe. He's not here with us tonight, but I'm going to talk about him a minute. He's doing our review of Clash of Heroes 3G. May God be with him.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. I love that game, but oh, my God, it is so hard at times. It will make you pull your hair out.
This is the PS3 version?
Yeah, that's the PS3 version. It actually has the second screen capabilities with the PSP.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't even. I don't think I've opened mine, but I did buy a physical copy of that.
Yeah, he's doing our review of it. I played the PSP version when it came out, or when it reviewed it, actually. And I really liked it. I love all the character customization in it, because you can literally make your party any way that you want it. But it is so hard, and it's got permadeath, and it's just the permadeath. I mean, you got... Oh,
it's speaking of Monkey Paw, I believe there is
isn't there exactly. something for Summon Night 5?
Yeah, yes. Summoner Night 5 on their website. I think I want to say. Let me see. Let me hope this is it. Yeah, monkeypawgames.com. I think you can go to. No, maybe. Let me see.
I think it's Gaijinworks or Gaijinworks.
Oh yeah, it's Gaijin. Yeah, it's Gaijinworks. Monkey Paw does do it, but I think
Gaijinworks. They both kind of work together to pub things and stuff.
Yeah, the survey is on Gaijinworks.com. Just it's really easy. Just your email, your name, and how many game copies you want, and that's it.
If they can get people wanting at least, I think 6,000, they're going to do a physical print run.
Yeah, that's funny because I know that 3G did not reach that goal, and they still put out a physical. So I think if it gets close enough, but don't quote me on that. Just try and get it. Just sign up for it. And they actually send you an email, and you have to respond to that email. So know that, like. You'll get the email and then respond to it or press a link on it and it'll say, okay, thank you.
Fun fact, one of the very first articles I wrote for the website was on Summon Night 5.
Yep.
Thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah, Justin. Stick around. Mm-hmm.
Stick around.
Enjoy the boobs. Oh.
Also, I'm going to be writing a couple anime reviews for the website.
Sweet. I'd love to hear this.
Or is it wrong to try and pick up girls in a dungeon?
Yes, it is.
Oops.
And Plastic Memories is what I'll be writing.
That's all serious.
Yeah. Wow. Plastic Memories. Beautiful.
Speaking of, can we talk about Monster Musume? What is this?
Hentai, sir. It is, hentai.
It's pretty busty.
I read a chapter of it. And then I read another chapter of it at Barnes & Noble, and I don't know what I was reading. You know what? I felt like, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking to myself, like, should I be reading this, like, out in public? Like, I'm literally just standing up in the middle of Barnes & Noble reading this manga, and...
Well, it confused me why you even were interested in this. If you're I never see you interested in anything, and you are interested in monster girls with big boobs. Like, that was so confusing, because you don't... You hate ecchi.
I mean, if I said that as Zarya, I'd be like, oh, it's a day that ends in Y. But, you know, yeah, saying it's, like, weird.
I saw it had really good scores on my anime list, and I figured, okay, what is this? Maybe it's interesting. It didn't take place like in a high school, and that also caught my eye. I was like, oh, you don't see that very often in anime or manga. Maybe I'll give it a read. And I read a chapter, and I have no idea what the hell I just read.
Didn't you say that something about there was an older girl in it, and that was cool, or something like that?
No, I think I might have said something about how the character was a bit older than usual.
Yeah. There's a new hentai that just came out with older characters. You should check it out.
Perhaps.
Do you want me to plug it?
What's it
do
called?
Hold on, let me go. I gotta go in incognito mode.
Oh my god. Oh, Zario's still hiding his porn habits.
No. Well, I just don't want a friend to come over and check my computer and then just press H and see, like...
Well, if he does, you're just sharing the love.
The press worst. H.
Because that's all it took. That's all it would take. Let me see.
He gets all of his hentai from hentai.com.
I think it's Genkaki Cool Na Sensei Ga Ahibutiochi?
Booty?
I just heard booty.
Booty, booty.
Booty, that's booty, it. Booty, booty.
And for all you Futanari fans, Futubu Mix Futanari World came out, episode 1. Three. I think it's 3 or 4 Futanari stories like in one anime like some for food your pleasure.
There's some food. Only on this podcast can we go from Nintendo to Fuda in one podcast. Only here, folks.
Yeah, I don't know. What should we? Okay, coming up after the break, we're going to give our... We're just going to talk a little bit about Final Fantasy VII Remake and Shenmue 3. So stick around. Hikari wo atsumete yozora no kanata e sayonara no hello, welcome back to Total Control. Real quick, we're going to talk about a Final Fantasy VII remake. Now, this was announced a couple weeks ago at E3. Not much has been said about it other than it's coming out for PS4. Not exclusive, but they're not in talks with any other consoles. Like, just right now, it's coming to PS4. So we don't know if it's coming anywhere else.
I think they said it would come to the PC.
It's probably going to come to the PC. Just because also that Final Fantasy VII has been on the PC. But I want to tell you guys something. Take a walk with me, guys.
Let's go.
I said, now, and I quote, I said that PlayStation Experience, Squaresoft announced Final Fantasy VII Remastered coming to PlayStation 4, and it was just the PC upscaled version. Nothing new. And then silence. And I said, I think it was probably a month ago, you can look in the episodes, I said that they're probably going to do a remake because they have not said anything since that PlayStation Experience, and they saw all the tweets and all the things. Squaresoft is a troll. Squaresoft is this. And they decided, okay, F it. We'll do it. I said that, and look what happened.
I think they already had it in works. True. They said they already had it in development then.
Yeah, they say a lot of things.
Dude. True, but here's the thing. This is Square Enix we're talking about. Who's to say the trolling isn't over?
You know, we're not going to get that game for a long time,
guys. Yeah, no, we're not going to for a while.
Probably.
You know what? I think it'll be out before you guys think it will. I think they're a lot further along with that than what we all think they are.
That'd be amazing if it is. So
I think the director say that he didn't even know he was working on it until the trailer?
Well, according to them, they've had this in development for a while.
I'm pretty sure
I've heard that too, Steve. Yeah.
Yeah, he said that he didn't even know he was doing it.
So who knows? Okay. I know they said they were going to change the combat system, which scares me.
And they said that they might like deviate a bit from the story, or no, actually not so much deviate, but rather expand on it.
That's okay. I'm okay with expansion.
But yeah, the combat is a big thing. I really hope that they keep it the way 90s Final Fantasy was, and that they don't try to modernize it too much.
If they make it faster, I'm okay with that. The camera move faster, make some of the material actually work, because there were a couple of pieces that actually did not do anything. Like it was actually broken in the game and just didn't do anything.
Man, I don't care what the fuck they do. I just want this game to come out.
Oh, you're such a horrorzorio.
I'm curious to see how it comes out.
So. But the trailer was awesome. That was a great, amazing trailer. Who do you guys think was narrating it? I'm going to say Rufus.
Probably.
You can't just agree with me.
Well, I said probably. I don't know who it was. It was a guy. It was a dude. It was the trailer dude.
It's probably Rufus. I'm thinking it was who.
It was Jesse. From the very beginning of the game.
Didn't she die?
Doesn't matter.
Oh, she died when the tower fell. Oh, that's depressing. All of Avalanche died. Oh, man. You guys don't understand, but when you're climbing that tower and you fight Reno up there, everybody that was underneath you is dead.
You know, man. I'm going to say this. Like, I hope for the new Final Fantasy VII, which, I'll be honest, I am curious to see how it comes out. Like, this is, for once, a Square Enix game that I'm not going to tear to pieces. But I do hope that they make, if they're going to expand the story, I do hope that they make what was in Disc 2 and Disc 3 a bit more interesting. Because I felt that Final Fantasy VII wasn't a bad game, but it really hit its peak in the first disc.
Yeah, Midgar was definitely the best thing about that game. I feel.
I do too.
Yeah, I think once you got to where, once you got to Cloud's town, Nibelheim.
Yeah.
Once you got after that section, I think the game just totally fell off.
Yeah, I hope they make the rest of it more interesting, because Midgar was insane. Like, that whole part of Midgar is so memorable. Everything about it is great.
Yeah. That was a brilliant idea to... You have to understand that I played this game when I was like 10 or 11. So my idea of video games when Final Fantasy came out was just Mario. You know, yeah. I was like Crash Bandicoot, you know. When this game came out and I was on the bike going out when you essentially leave Midgar.
Yeah, the bike scene.
That world opened up. I had no idea what I was supposed to do because I thought that the whole game revolved around Midgar. And when they showed me that world map, this is my first RPG, by the way. Mm-hmm. So I had no idea what I was doing. And when that world opened up, I had no idea what to do. It blew me away.
How did you like the cross-dressing picture Cloud I shared?
That was awesome.
You're talking about Lightning.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Yeah.
Lightning. Those are two different characters.
No.
Lightning is from Final Fantasy XIII. Cloud is from Final Fantasy VII.
You wait and see if he don't look just like that when you get the best stuff in the remake.
Lightning has beautiful pink hair.
Well, he can get a pink wig. It was an option.
I will say, though, one of my favorite scenes in FF7 is when you climb up the top of Shinra Tower and then you fight Rufus at the very top.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I hear the FF7 boss theme, I associate it with that fight. Because I don't know what it is about that fight. It was just perfect.
Yeah. And he had, like, a dog.
Yeah, it was the perfect one-on-one showdown.
I thought that the best fight was in that area, but on the elevator. When you're on the elevator.
Oh, that was a good one, too.
Yeah, that was a super good fight. Oh, man.
Another part that was great was when you're meeting Red 13, and then, like, you go into the lab, and there's just a trail of blood.
Yeah.
And that music just plays.
I wonder.
Dude, if you got Aerith's move Seal Evil, it's over. It's over.
You know, I'm going to say this. Like, all right, spoiler alert. No, not spoiler alert, because you know what? If you don't know this by now, then I don't know what the hell to say to you.
Fuck off. Then obviously you haven't watched a top 10 video on
YouTube. Aerith dies. But I think Aerith dying is the game trying to make itself more difficult because she was so overpowered. It was even funny.
Well, the story, you know, he wrote that right after the... But Sakaguchi wrote that right after his mother died, so that was part of why Aerith dies to begin with.
Didn't you want to kill off somebody else? I think I read that somewhere.
I think the most interesting thing about Final Fantasy VII that most people don't know is that Xenogears was almost Final Fantasy
VII. Yeah, it was supposed to be Final Fantasy VII, but it was like too dark for Final Fantasy.
It was too dark, so they gave it a project.
Game Informer... Just last issue, they had the best part about Game Informer is the last two pages. They're about classic gaming, and last month was about Xenogears. They don't say anything about Up Rainfall in there, but they do talk about Xenosaga and all of Monolith Soft, really.
See, I actually done my Origins piece for the website on Xenosaga, or Xenogears, excuse me. Because, you know, when you do an Origins piece, you pick the one game that changed the way that you looked at gaming. And that was my one thing. Because
you kill God?
Well, it was that. Because at the time, you know, religion was taboo in gaming. It was like a no-no. You don't never touch it at this time when this game come out. And it wasn't only that. You know, Final Fantasy VII has an epic story. It does. But to me, Xenogears showed me that you could have this epic story along with all these characters that were really well developed, and it was just, it was told in such a different way than anything else I'd ever seen before. And it really has stuck with me all these years.
I'm glad they separated it. I'm glad Xenosaga is not a Final Fantasy.
It would never happen, but I would love to see, you know, Xenogears get a HD.
Ironically enough, Xenogears got screwed over because of Final Fantasy, because they're developing FF8 at the time, and they're trying to finish Xenogears, and they said, no, you gotta put your efforts towards FF8. Screw Xenogears. And that's why the second disc is all screwed up.
Yeah, that's why it's so barren. But even with that second disc the way it is, that game is still one of the most amazingly told stories in gaming.
And the scale is insane.
Yes. It's a good thing Final Fantasy VIII is amazing.
It's shitty.
I actually just blogged a picture from Final Fantasy VIII. It was The Girls Next Door when you pick it up. And I said on there that I've been trying to read this since 1999. Because you can't read the porno that you pick up in Final Fantasy VIII. Right. You can give it to one of the guys on that ship, but I've always tried to read it, like, in the thing.
My favorite FF8 picture is the one where Riona, I think that was her name, she looks at Squall and says,
I know what you're talking about.
You're the best looking guy around here.
Yeah.
Then it zooms in on Squall's pixelated face.
Leave him alone. He's a really good looking guy. Fuck off. All right. Let's talk about, so Final Fantasy VII Remake. I'm excited. I hope they do right by this game's legacy.
I want to bring one thing up that Square did other than the Final Fantasy VII Remake. I was so excited to see Nier back.
It's Nier.
Is it Nier? I always call it Nier, whatever.
Heard it.
That's probably a southern thing.
Well, leave my southern alone. Don't make me break out my Confederate flag that's banned everywhere. Just don't make me do it.
You'll get this episode banned. Shh.
Sorry. Anyways, I was really excited to see that because I am a huge fan of Drakengard and that was just an amazing thing. And, you know, that game commercially failed, so I didn't ever expect Square to do another one. And when they popped it out, it actually made me think, oh, my God, they can listen.
And Platinum Games is doing that.
And I bet the combat will be amazing this time because Platinum's involved, and the music will be astounding because, you know, Nier has one of the best soundtracks that of any game that I can think of off the top of my head. It would definitely be in any top 10.
I know it got mixed reviews, but Drakengard 3, I actually played all the way through it, and I had a great time. I thought the story of that game was so fun.
I have a friend who cosplayed Zero from Drakengard 3, and she looked incredible.
I'll bet she did.
Yes, she did.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it had a lot of technical issues, but as far as the story goes and the music, it was a really solid game. It did have some technical issues, but the people that translated that done a great job on Drakengard 3. I mean, you know, I laughed my ass off at some of the dialogue because it was just amazing.
Yeah, Drakengard 3 is a great game, and so moving on.
Did we lose our train of thought?
I got a text message and I was like, Honestly, Nicole. when you guys start talking, I start like trailing off. Like I rarely listen to anything you guys.
Are you saying I'm not interesting? What is this?
What is this?
What you trying to say, bro?
What? Moving on. Shenmue 3 Kickstarter. How do you guys feel about this?
I didn't play the first two games, so I really don't have any input on this.
All right, so I played Shenmue 1. I didn't finish it, and to be honest, I got pretty bored while playing Shenmue 1. I want to like it. I couldn't get into it, but I am very happy to see people get it.
Absolutely.
I punched a tree in Shenmue 2. I remember that.
People wanted it. I'm glad that they're getting what they wanted. Exactly. The Kickstarter's doing very well. It's very healthy. Then I think that people's going to get an amazing game out of this.
It's weird that you can't really play that game all the way through. The reason being, at least, is because it is the first one's on Dreamcast, the second one's on 360, and the original. Third one is coming. The third one's coming to PlayStation 4.
Can't you get a European import of the second one for the Dreamcast?
You can.
You can just burn a CDR if you want.
We're not into piracy, Azario.
No, I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
What is this? Piracy?
Oh my gosh, guys. All right.
You're R4 in it there.
Yeah, you can't. I don't know what this P word you guys are talking about is.
I'm just recommending if someone really wants to play the game and doesn't want to spend $100 on it.
Yeah.
There is ways.
It is kind of bad you have to pay that much for something in the pub, don't even get a dime out of it.
Yeah.
I'm excited. The whole thing about Sony giving them money, because Sony is publishing it, but all the money does go to... you know what it is, Steve? It's your rocking. That's what's distracting me.
What? God.
I'm talking. And, like, I can't stop looking at you.
I'm about to turn my video off. Man can't even rock in his recliner when he's sitting
there. He's like this lazy boy. And he's just chilling. When he talks, he's perfectly fine, but I'm trying to read like show notes that I have right here. This brother just chilling in his lazy
Don't
boy.
Don't lie, those aren't show notes. That's just straight up hentai. That Futanari stuff you were talking about earlier.
Okay, did I watch the Futanari? Yes, I did. just to say that I did. Just to say, if someone wants to know, I can recommend it to somebody. I watch it for research purposes.
It's science.
And I'm trying to talk about Shenmue 3 right now.
Which has no Futanari in it, by the way.
Watch, it does. There's like a hot coffee mod for it.
God damn. I played Shenmue 2. I didn't play Shenmue 1.
Would you like a cup of hot coffee?
I'm sorry.
So this has been episode 38 of Total Control. Thank you for listening, guys. We ask you to please continue going to the Sign Arena articles. All the E3 stuff is there. There's a tab at the top of the website for all the 2015 E3 articles that we pushed out. Check out all the impression pieces. Check out my BCD of Dark Souls 3. Didn't mean for that to rhyme. And yeah, just continue reading the sites. We're pushing out news when it comes, trying to get a grasp on that. And if you have any recommendations or anything to say, comments or anything, you can reach us at The Total Control. You can reach me at Azario Says, Justin at JustGiyu, and Steve at Steve Baltimore. You can also tweet at the website at OpRainfall. And I think that's our show. Thanks, Justin.
No problem.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
How long did we do? Oh, good. All right. Have a good day or night. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Hot coffee.